right. Well, we want to get ourselves going here this morning. Let's take our chorus books and turn to number 12. Number 12 in the chorus book. Do Lord.
Seven.
lower every day. Of course, that means the Lord's coming is no closer.
birthday to him.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Real gratefully, before we have our specials, we'll just read Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4. Moving on to verse 4 today. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4. We'll just read through those together one time. And I guess the way we'll handle this, Caleb, you can go ahead downstairs after the specials. Okay? So that way you can know when it's time to go. All right, Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4. All right, here we go.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name.
All right, very good.
Morning. I've got my mic on, I think. Okay.
And we both have frogs.
Yeah. That time of year.
Sinuses.
Good to be in God's house today. Beautiful day that the Lord's given us. And thankful for his mercy and his grace. Amen. I tell you today of the goodness of the Lord. There's nothing good in me that I should gain a reward. Just by the kindness and the favor he has shown. Not by my works or anything I've earned. It's nothing but grace that pardons my sin. Because of his mercy I've been born again. Redeemed by his blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? It's nothing. Grace he gives to me, his goodwill and favor continue to increase. Called out of darkness into his wonderful light, I'm blessed beyond measure. I owe him my life. It's nothing but grace that pardons my sin. Because of his mercy, I've been born again. Redeemed by his blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? It's nothing but grace. It's nothing but grace that pardons my sin. Because of his mercy, I've been born again. Blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? It's nothing but grace. Redeemed by his blood, my sins are erased. What else can I say? It's nothing but grace.
Amen.
I don't know at what age you were saved. I've mentioned up here before, but I was 23. And, you know, my life up until that time, just kind of a big question mark. What am I doing here? What am I going to do while I'm here? Where am I going to go when I leave here? Everything just a big question mark. But I'm thankful that when the Lord saved me at the age of 23, he turned that question mark into an exclamation point. So that I'm here for a reason now. It's not by accident. And as this song says, hallelujah, I've found him. All my life long, I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long had craved. He's a satisfies my so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long had craved. He's a satisfies my have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, if you will. Romans chapter 14. I keep a book with messages and lessons that I've preached and taught different places, and I try not to do the same thing at the same place. And I check my book, and according to what my book says, I haven't done this here. You know, years ago, I didn't always do that. I didn't always keep a record. And a couple times, someone would say, you know, you preached that message here before. And so, you know, I try to keep a record of what I do so I don't have reruns. But anyhow, Romans chapter number 14. Let's read this chapter. Of course, the Apostle Paul is writing. And let's read down through verse 14, if you will. Romans 14, verses 1 through 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Let's bow for further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be here in the house of God again today. We do thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, you've given us. It's a day that you've made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for the song service, and thank you for the ministry of music that prepares our hearts, Lord, for the preaching and teaching of your word. And Father, I thank you for all those who have gathered here today. You know each individual. You know each individual need. You know everything about us, all the details of our lives. Lord, I pray if there be any in our midst today who have never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that today might be that wonderful day they would say yes to him and come to know the thrill of salvation. And then as Christians, Lord, do a work in our hearts. Draw us ever near to yourself. And Lord, accomplish your will and purpose in our hearts and lives this day. And for all that you do now, we'll give you the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' wonderful name for his sake, we ask it. Amen. This passage here is dealing with a matter of Christian liberty. And Christian liberty has to do with areas of life and conduct not specifically dealt with in Scripture. Now, some things, you know, we can dogmatically say are wrong, right? Ten Commandments spell it out. We know it's a sin to lie. We know it's a sin to steal. We know it's a sin to commit adultery. There's no question about that. Thus saith the Lord, right? But there are some things that are not specifically dealt with in Scripture. And a lot of these things, well, for instance, Paul deals with them here. The matter of foods, the matter of activities, the matter of certain holy days, you know, things such as entertainment and so on. And, you know, these are areas that can create problems. The differences of opinion in Rome had to do with foods and holy days, as we read here. Now, let's think about this. The church at Rome was made up of Jews and Gentiles. You know, it's pretty obvious as you read through the book that there were saved Jews, you know, in that church, as well as Gentiles. Well, the Jews, of course, would be drawn to certain dietary matters, wouldn't they? Because you had the Jewish dietary laws, which forbid certain things, such as pork, shellfish. There's a whole list of things. Leviticus chapter 11 spells it out, what things were not permitted. Now, you know, I think there was a practical reason for that in the Old Testament. And the practical reason was to keep those people healthy. You know, most of those things that were forbidden either were disease carriers, you know, or they spoiled very quickly. For instance, you know, and I don't know if this is so much of a problem today with, you know, the methods that we have, you know, in raising animals today, but it used to be that if you ate pork that was not cooked well, you could get trichinosis from it. I know what trichinosis is. I remember visiting a lady in the hospital that had it. And it's not a pleasant thing. Trichinosis, little worms burrow into your muscles. And, I mean, it's a difficult thing, you know, to deal with that. But it came from eating undercooked pork. And so think back in Old Testament terms. Those people didn't have the knowledge, you know, that we have today. And it wasn't a practical thing for God to give them, you know, a crash course in health matters or, you know, whatever. And so rather than do that, he just said, these are things you can eat and these are things you can't eat. But it was mainly to keep them healthy. Another thing, you know, a lot of the fish, it said that they could eat fish that had scales and fins. Remember that? If they didn't have scales and fins, you couldn't eat it. Well, what would that include? Catfish, which are bottom feeders, aren't they? Now, I don't know about you, but I like farm-raised catfish. I am thankful I don't live under Old Testament law for a lot of reasons. But all those things were bottom feeders. And then the shellfish, of course, they're scavengers, aren't they? And they can also carry disease. So I think that was a practical reason, you know, for the dietary laws in the Old Testament. Now, there's probably a spiritual lesson to be drawn from them, too, you know, not to feed on things that, you know, cause disease and feed on things that are not healthy and so on. But the main reason, I think, you know, as far as the Old Testament was concerned, was to keep those people healthy. Well, in the New Testament, we have no command to keep Jewish dietary laws, do we? It's not there. In fact, if you look in, let's see, 1 Timothy, is it? Let's see. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I remember Dr. Oliver B. Green said, based on those verses, you could eat a turkey buzzard if you could stand it. Now, I don't want to, but based on that, you could. So we have no New Testament commands regarding Jewish dietary laws. We're not under that. Now, if a person feels that they shouldn't eat pork or shouldn't eat ham, that's their business, isn't it? It is. I remember our founding pastor, Dr. Dickerson, said he was in a meeting one time where there were several preachers. And there was a Jewish evangelist. He was Jewish, but he'd gotten saved. And he was in that meeting. And so all the preachers had gone out to a buffet for dinner. And they had several different things on the buffet. And one of the things they had on there was ham. And so they were kind of joking around with this Jewish evangelist. And they said, brother, you know, now, you know, since you're redeemed and saved by the grace of God, you can eat ham. Do you know that? He said, yes, that's true. He said, I'm also free not to eat it. Which is true too, isn't it? But think about this. Here in Rome, you know, there are saved Jews and there are saved Gentiles. Totally different cultures, right? I can see how the Jews might have a tendency to want to hold on to some of their holy days, Sabbath days. A lot of different holy days in Judaism, right? And also the Gentiles, you know, had their particular ideas. And so here we have these two groups put together, and you can see a potential for conflict, can't you? And so there are differences of opinion here concerning Christian liberty in Rome with regard to foods and holy days and so on. Now, the point that Paul makes in verse 1 is this. Look at it. He said, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, we're to receive and love those with whom we disagree concerning matters of liberty. We're not talking about matters of major doctrine now. We're talking about matters of liberty. Things we may not necessarily agree on. I remember a time when my wife and I were in Bible college, and our first 3 years in school, we lived in a married couple's dormitory. They had a dormitory for married couples who had no children, and so we lived in the dormitory. We took our meals in the dining hall, but basically lived in a 9 by 12 room. It was interesting. A lot of learning. Matters that we experienced in that situation. But I remember, you know, we had a common area where we could get together. It had some tables and chairs, refrigerator, small kitchen there. And so the couples could get together and play games and so on. Well, there was a couple from New Hampshire that we were going to play this game with. I don't even remember what the game was now. But anyhow, involved in the game, you threw dice. Well, the couple from New Hampshire said, we don't like to throw dice. But we do have this little wheel that we spin. Well, I mean, I didn't see anything wrong. I mean, we're not gambling. I didn't see anything wrong with throwing the dice, but evidently it was a problem with them. So they said, we have this little wheel. We'd say, oh, we'll spin the wheel. You know, in my way of thinking, I thought it was kind of silly. I didn't tell them that. But, I mean, they felt very strongly about that. So, okay. So we don't want to offend somebody. And different people have different feelings, don't they? We have some friends that are totally opposed to television. Look, it's probably not a bad thing this day and time. There's not much on. It's very good. And it's getting worse, isn't it? I do like to watch the news, although it's upsetting. Get mad very quickly watching the news. But I do like to know what's going on. But look, if you don't believe in having a TV, hey, praise the Lord. We'd probably be better off without a lot of it, wouldn't we? I personally don't have a conviction along that line, but if you do, it's fine, you know. But here would be the problem. If I were to invite you to my house and try to make you sit down and watch TV, that would be wrong on my part, wouldn't it? Knowing how you feel about it. So we're to receive and love those with whom we might disagree concerning liberty. Everybody has their own convictions. Verses 3 and 4 tell us this. We're not to judge others in matters of Christian liberty. Look at verses 3 and 4. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. All of us have to stand before the Lord and give an account for our lives, I don't have to give an account for you, right? And you don't have to give an account for me. And so he said that we're to quit judging each other. Another thing that came up, and you find this over in Corinthians, I'm not going to turn there for sake of time, which, by the way, what time did we stop? 25 after? Okay. Over in 1 Corinthians, one of the things you find, there was a problem over meat sold in the shambles. Remember that term, shambles? It's in the market, the meat market. And what it had to do with sacrifices that were made in the heathen temples. You know, every single day, they're offering sacrifices at the heathen temples, you know, to their heathen gods. Well, after the sacrifice was over, they took that meat down to the local market and sold it. Your local Acme Market or Redner's or wherever. And it was put out for sale. Well, there were Christians who felt because that meat had been offered in sacrifice to an idol that it was tainted somehow, and that as a Christian you shouldn't eat it or shouldn't buy it. There were other folks who didn't see any problem with it, recognizing that, you know, these so-called gods didn't exist, did they? I mean, the heathen gods that, you know, the Romans and Greeks worshipped, Jupiter and all those, they did not exist. I mean, they're not gods, are they? The only one true God, Jehovah God. But there were folks who, you know, because it was offered as sacrifice in an idol temple, they felt somehow the meat was tainted. Other folks saw no problem with it, realizing it's just meat and there is no God in that heathen temple. And so can you see the problem there? Folks are butting heads over that meat. Well, he says here we're not to judge others in matters of Christian liberty. Now, we are to form our own convictions on things, aren't we? Look at verse number 5. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I mean, that recognizes the fact that we don't always see things the same, do we? We don't always see eye to eye on things. And it's like I heard somebody say years ago, if you find two people that agree on everything, somebody's not thinking. This is not going to happen, is it? We're not going to agree on everything. But as Christians, we can agree on the most important things, and then the lesser things agree to disagree. Go on to serve the Lord, you know. So we're to form our own convictions on these things. Now, our convictions are matters between us and the Lord. Our convictions are matters between us and the Lord. I remember hearing this years ago, and I thought it was a good statement. I've never forgotten it. My convictions are for me to live by. They're not for me to judge you by. My convictions are for me to live by. They're not for me to judge others by. You know, we have to answer to the Lord individually. We have to answer to each other. And so, you know, whatever convictions I have should be based on the Word. I should have a Bible basis for my conviction, shouldn't it? It shouldn't just be, that's because I like it that way. But should be a Bible-based reason for it. And then once I've come to that conviction, I stand on it, you know. But I'm not going to judge you by it. So, our convictions are matters between us and the Lord. Look at verses 6 through 12 again. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto the Lord. Whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's. For this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. For why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account to himself of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So our convictions are matters between us and the Lord. And then this, our liberty ends where our brother's conscience begins. Our liberty ends where our brother's conscience begins. He said, let's not put a stumbling block in front of others. If there's something I'm doing that puts a stumbling block in front of somebody else, then maybe I shouldn't do that. I don't want to cause somebody to stumble. I've heard this said, I would much rather be a stepping stone than a stumbling block. Much rather be a stepping stone than a stumbling block. Nobody likes to be stepped on, do they? But wouldn't it be better to be stepped on? Take it by the grace of God rather than be a stumbling block for somebody? So, I don't want to cause somebody to stumble. And if there's something that I feel I have liberty to do, but it would cause somebody else to stumble, then maybe I shouldn't do that, right? That's the point of what he says. Now, here's some observations in this passage. Do you notice here in this passage that Paul doesn't say here which side's right or wrong? Did you notice that? He didn't say here that either side's right or wrong, did he? So you're to form your own conviction, your own opinion. Doesn't take sides here. Notice that he does say that we're to quit judging each other. That's what we're supposed to do. And look, if the other brother or other sister is wrong, God's able to take care of that, isn't he? When I got saved at the age of 23, there were a lot of things wrong in my life that needed to be straightened out. And God, the Holy Spirit, began to deal with them. I mean, in no uncertain terms. And which I'm thankful for. And, you know, sometimes with young Christians, sometimes folks come along and maybe try to straighten them out. Maybe with, you know, good intent, they might do that. But the Holy Spirit's able to do it. He's able to straighten us out. And so one of the best things we can do is just pray for them, right? Encourage them. Receive them in love, as he says here. And trust the Spirit of God to straighten them out. But Paul says here we're to quit judging each other. And then he says we're not to put a stumbling block in our brother's way. I don't want to do something that's going to cause somebody else to stumble. And so, very important lesson. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about this? Why is it that Christians who are saved by the same grace of God, indwelt by the same Holy Spirit, read the same Bible, don't always see things the same way? You ever think about that? Obviously, they don't, do they? I mean, look, there are born-again people in lots of different groups, you know, Baptist. I know some saved Methodists. Obviously, there are saved folks in holiness and Pentecostal churches, Presbyterian churches, and so on. I mean, there are saved people in a lot of different groups. But obviously don't see things the same way, do they? Well, let me just offer some suggestions. Some folks maybe have grown more in the Lord than others. You know, look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Some folks, I think, maybe have grown more. You know, when you first get saved, a lot of times you think you got all the answers. And then after a while, you realize you don't have all the answers. And then you get to a place where you realize how little you really do know. My wife and I have been saved for 52 years. And the more I read this book, the more I realize I just scratched the surface. Just scratched the surface into what's there. And but in Hebrews chapter 5, he says down to verse number 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So it's obvious, you know, some folks have maybe grown in their Christian life more than others. And so as a result of that, you know, they don't always see things, you know, the same way. Some have a greater understanding of the Word of God than others. They spend more time in this book. I don't know if you have a plan to read the Bible through, but it's a good thing for everybody to have. And I try to read a section in the Old Testament and the New Testament, something in the Psalms and the Proverbs, and whatever works for you is fine. But you need to have some kind of a plan to daily spend time in this book, right? And it's as we let the word sink into our hearts, you know, that we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I certainly haven't arrived after 52 years. I know that. Nowhere near it. And there's always room for growth, isn't there? Regardless of how long we've been saved. But some folks maybe have a greater understanding of the Word of God than others, and that's why they don't see things the same way. Maybe some folks have grown up in a particular denomination that held to a certain view. And, you know, when you've been raised, you know, in a certain situation like that, it's hard to get rid of old ideas, isn't it? It's like I heard a fellow say that whenever some folks read the Bible, they pick up their doctrinal spectacles and put them on. And everything they read, they see through those spectacles of what they grew up under, you know. Maybe some folks have been influenced by a particular preacher, a particular teacher who had certain views. And by the way, we're all influenced by other people, aren't we? All the preachers that we have heard, all the teachers that we have heard, they've had an effect on us. And hopefully a good effect, right? But sometimes it could maybe go off on a certain tangent or so on. Maybe some folks have something in their background that influences their view. You know, something about how they grew up maybe. Some folks may have sin in their life which clouds their judgment. And sin will always cloud your judgment, won't it? It will. When Adam and Eve sinned, you know, not only did it bring upon them physical and spiritual death, it certainly affected how they thought, didn't it? Some may have a particular view because of their personality. Could be a lot of different things, you know, but obviously, you know, there are people in various denominations who are saved by the grace of God. They have the same Bible, indwelt with the same Holy Spirit, and yet we don't always see things the same way. And so what do you do? Well, you receive and love those with whom you disagree, and go on and serve the Lord. We have a pastor's fellowship that meets every month in a different church. And I'm sure everybody in the fellowship agrees on the basic doctrines of the Word of God. But I know we don't all agree on every little detail about things. But we have a fellowship. And we pray for each other, serve the Lord together. And I believe that's what God expects us to do. And so, again, he said we're to receive and love those with whom we disagree. Going back there in Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that's weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. So he says in verse number 13 there, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So Christian liberty, something very important, I believe, in our lives as Christians. All right, 25 after, so I guess we'll stop there. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes the word and applies it to our hearts. Pray now as we go in the morning service. I pray that you would bless everything that's said and done, singing of the gospel songs, and then the preaching of your word. And Lord, just do your work in our hearts today. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' matchless name and for his sake, we ask it. Amen.